So this morning we reflected on kind of finding our story in the story of salvation. And then this afternoon, looking at the Samaritan woman at the well, we have talked about removing some of those obstacles to mercy, and especially in the sacrament of reconciliation. And so this evening, I want to reflect on one other story of mercy from Scripture as it relates to our Lord in the Eucharist. So we had prodigal son, Samaritan woman at the well. And the third is the woman caught in adultery. Which is the story of somebody who's converted by the face of Christ. John chapter 8 says, early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him so that they could have some charge to bring against him. And so, listening carefully to the narrative, we might try to place ourselves in the position of this woman. And the first question that comes to mind is, how did she end up where she ended up? It says in Scripture she was caught in the very act of committing adultery, which basically means somebody barged in on them, pulled her out of this house, probably lightly clad, and threw her down in the middle of this big crowd. But before that even happened, what is this person like? And I can't help but to think that she probably didn't come from a very good family. She didn't have anyone to protect her. From an early age, she probably came to the conclusion, "I don't have any value other than my body." And then she enters into this life as a prostitute. And each time she's thinking to herself, "This is the best that my life can be." Maybe even, "I deserve this life." I don't have any value other than my bodily value. I don't have any dignity. I don't have any self-worth. And then she gets caught and drug out into the middle of this crowd. And these are things she probably believes about herself interiorly, but now she's out in the middle so everybody can see her. And they're all looking at her. And their looks are confirming what she believes about herself. "I have no value other than my body." Because really, everybody in the crowd would have been staring at her body. Except for one person. As we read on, it says, Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. Which is one of those scripture passages that is just really curious, and there's lots of explanations that people give for this scripture passage. Some people say Jesus bent down and started writing everybody else's sins on the ground. Some people say he didn't really know what to say and he was just buying time. The explanation that I prefer is that he bent down and started to write on the ground because that's obviously where the woman was looking. If you had just been exposed and drug out into this middle of people and they're all staring at your body and you are ashamed, you're going to be looking at the ground. And so our Lord bends down and writes in the ground. What does he write? It doesn't matter. Probably nothing. But rather it's a gesture to say, hey, look at my finger. To catch her eye. So that she would follow that finger up his arm to his face, look into his eyes, and see that he loves her. Now, she probably looked into his eyes, saw that he looks at her with love, and got freaked out and started looking back at the ground again. And so our Lord stands up and he says, but when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And so he makes this proclamation, then he goes back to write on the ground, like, hey, look at my finger. Until she looks him in the eye. And this time she actually believes that he might love her. And I just can see our Lord down on the ground looking up into her eyes and her looking at his. And he looks at her differently than everybody else looks at her. And the people in the crowd start to recognize that as well. They all notice that our Lord looks at her and he doesn't see her body. He sees her. He sees into her. He sees her value. And then maybe they remember that he once said, whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And they start dropping their stones. And they all move away. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And this is the best part. Because she says, no one, sir. And the no one, sir, includes herself. It includes herself. Somehow, in the midst of this whole interaction, our Lord's look of love changed the way she saw herself. And instead of believing the same thing as the crowd about herself, she started to believe what our Lord's look said to her. She replies, no one, sir. Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. And where does she go? Tradition says that she just went and became his disciple. And she followed him. And when everybody else was too afraid to be at the foot of the cross, she was at the foot of the cross. And she was the first to discover the empty tomb at the resurrection. The first to carry the faith to southern France. All because she was able to see the look of love. And it transformed the way she saw herself. That is a heart transformed by mercy. Someone who began again from mercy. And John Paul II reminds us that the plan for evangelization in the third millennium is to contemplate the face of Christ. That's it. He says there are two ways of doing that are very important. The rosary, which is a meditation on the entire life of Christ. That's why he added the luminous mysteries. And the Eucharist. Because the Eucharist is the face of Christ. St. John Vianney would say, people would ask him, what do you do in adoration all day? And he would just say, I just look at him and he looks at me. And it converted him. And I'm not sure we always appreciate just who Jesus is when we're in Eucharistic adoration. Because if we really recognized who he was, it would melt our hearts. So many times, we might be asked the question, what do we believe about the Eucharist? And our answer might be, we believe the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. It's the real presence of Christ. That's what we believe the Eucharist is. It's who we believe the Eucharist is. But if that's true, what does that mean about each and every one of us? Because if it's true that we believe this is Jesus on the altar, that means we believe that from all eternity, God has been a trinity of persons. At a certain point in the history of the world, the second person of the Trinity joined himself to a human nature so that he would be like us in all things but sin. Wow. Then he lived a life like we all live. He took on the sin of the world and gave his life on the cross in order to redeem us. But before he gave his life on the cross, he took bread at the Last Supper and said, "This is my body, which will be given for you." And made himself present there. So that he would be present even to us 2,000 years later, the same Jesus, at each and every Mass, in each and every tabernacle. And if that's all true, that means that we are infinitely lovable. That means that we are infinitely lovable. And no matter who has not been there for us, or who has betrayed us, or how many times we've been let down by people, our Lord 2,000 years ago made sure that he would be able to be present so that you could stare at his face today. That's why we believe the Eucharist is the heart of the church. That's why some people have these conversion stories where they were in Eucharistic adoration and they realized that's Jesus and it changed their whole life. And so tonight I invite you for about the next half hour to just let our Lord into your life. A lot of things might have gotten stirred up over the last day and a few hours over the last day. Things from our past, things we haven't forgiven, past resentments. Feelings of being unworthy. Feelings of shame. Feelings of doubt. You're not unlike the woman in the gospel that we just read. Or like the prodigal son on his way back to the father. We haven't been unlike the Samaritan woman at the well, trying to make sure our Lord doesn't get access to our really deep, dark places in our hearts. And I invite you to just bring all of that before our Lord. To experience the way he looks at you. And to ask for the grace to believe in your hearts that the Lord's look is true. Let yourself be surprised by his mercy.